T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And here's how you can reach the show. It's 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. My friend Chris texted. He was listening during that last segment. It's so good when I get a friend here in town that takes a listen to the show. And you know what? I want you to tell your friends about this too. Anyone that's listening right now and you enjoy this program, let your friends know. Let them know there's something good going on here night times on KMOX. Quick note that the KMOX holiday radio show announcement happened today. It's going to be on Monday, December 16th at the Sheldon Concert Hall. Tickets go on sale tomorrow with pre-sale. You could even get $5 off if you buy them tomorrow. If you go to KMOX.com/events, it's going to be another awesome show. In fact, we'll have Kevin Colleen on tonight to talk about the show, and I'm looking forward to having a conversation with him. Also coming up is Dr. Stephen Mintz, who's going to join us in about 10 minutes from now. And Dr. Stephen Mintz has a couple of things to say when it comes to just ethics in general and politics and just how we frame the things that we say. Civility is out of here. He's not a fan of President Donald Trump in the way that he handles his speeches, and you'll find out some of the reasons why coming up as well. So we're going to bring him on. And also a friend from Kansas City sister station, KMBZ. He's a talk show host called Mike Wickett, and he's going to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard. There was a vote yesterday if they should keep that name on a street or not, and the people, almost 70%, said they wanted to revert it back to the old name. A lot of people, nationally speaking, see this and get upset. What's really happening? How about we talk to someone there and get an idea of what's really happening? And he says the national impression and the headlines are unwarranted. He'll give you the full explanation of what's going on. So tomorrow, my wife and my son are going to be driving to Ohio. My wife's going to be attending a wedding of one of her cousins that she hasn't talked to in forever, but she still wants to go. I decided it wasn't a good idea for me to take vacation time, so I'm going to stay here. I'm going to continue to do the show, but she's going to take some time to go visit her parents. She's going to visit some friends while she's up there. She has a couple of friends that she's had for a long time. One has a new baby. Well, actually, two of them have a new baby. Very exciting for her. So she's going to make it into like a little mini vacation, but I'm going to be here in St. Louis. I'm going to have the house to myself. I'll be able to do whatever I want. The freedom there. Oh, my goodness, the freedom. So immediately I think to myself, what am I going to do? Because no one will be out there trying to divide my time. No one's going to say, hey, I need you to do this. No one's saying out there, oh yeah, you got to help with this or you got to do with that. Nope. Nope. I can be as selfish as I want with my time. So you know how I'm going to spend that time? Watching Dr. Phil. Watching Dr. Phil. And I wasn't planning on it. They put a preview out and people started sharing this online. Dr. Phil interviews the abandoned Ukrainian orphan dwarf at the center of the adoption saga in Indianapolis. All right. Do you remember this story? We talked about it on the show before. What a strange story. So what originally happened was there was a couple that adopted back in 2010 what they thought was an 8-year-old girl born with dwarfism in the Ukraine. They bring her over here and they say, wait a minute, she's not 8 years old. We believe she is much older than 8 years old. In fact, they had her age legally changed, and today she is legally 30 years old. What happened was they believed this was all a scam. So they said, nope, they disavowed her. They said, we're going to pay for an apartment, but you're not living with this family because we think you're lying. And then nationally, people picked up on it and they said, here's this family that had abandoned a 10-year-old. Can you believe it? But the parents are saying, no, 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 no. She's no child. We know. It's one of those situations where they said she was like, you know, abusive, violent, all of these things. And she was lying about all of this. So guess who gets to the bottom of it? Good old Dr. Phil tomorrow.
Thursday. Was this adopted Ukrainian orphan?
Are you a 33-year-old scam artist?
All right, already I'm hooked. I had producer Mike look this up. So what, KMOV, 3 o'clock is when Dr. Phil airs here in St. Louis? Oh, man, I'm going to be on that couch. I'll have the popcorn ready. Are you a 33-year-old scam artist?
Masquerading as a 6-year-old child.
Christine Barnett tells us the girl she adopted was no child at all, but a fraud who tried to kill her family.
Ooh, tried to kill her family even. During this video that Dr. Phil is using to preview all of this, she's sitting in the chair and she's answering questions. And I'm starting to think to myself, maybe they got it all wrong. Maybe they're not. But then I think, okay, have I ever met, how old do they say she is now? I think they said she's 12 now or 10. Does any 10-year-old I know talk like this? And the answer is absolutely no.
She's painted you as an evil dwarf that's going to poison their coffee or stab them in their sleep.
Natalia would simply tell us, I'm trying to kill the boys.
Now.
They say you scammed them, lied about your age,
uh-huh,
and terrorized them.
For the first time.
It's not true at all.
She speaks out.
I just want people to hear my side.
Why did they want to get rid of you so badly?
Christine Barnett is being charged with neglect after allegedly dumping her daughter in an...
Why did they get rid of you so quickly? Imagine, okay, now there's two different sides here, of course. Now she says no, she's actually not a 30-year-old that is pretending to be a young teen or a preteen. No, that's not the case. Dr. Phil's a little skeptical, at least in this preview.
Indiana apartment.
A 6 or 7-year-old child living in an apartment alone for a year? That's just not believable to me.
That's just not believable. So did that really happen? Did they say, we're going to get you an apartment, you're going to have to live on your own, we're going to pay for it, but because you lied and you've tried to kill members of our family, we're not going to let you close to them? You know, they adopt someone from the Ukraine, and there could be a Trojan horse thing, as in she just wanted to get out of the Ukraine as fast as possible. She uses her condition and she uses it to try to pretend she's a child. She gets over here and she's like, free ticket to America. This is great. And then the truth comes out. Well, Dr. Phil's like, hey, they're saying and you're saying they dropped you off in an apartment alone. How does a 6 or 7-year-old live alone by themselves that long and survive? You know, I have a 5-year-old. He couldn't survive on his own for a year. Who could do that? Dr. Phil, man, I've never said this in my entire life, but I'm going to be in front of that TV watching Dr. Phil tomorrow. All right. I just wanted to share that with you. That is an exciting story. Dr. Stephen Mintz, we're going to talk to him next when it comes to civility in our discussions. It seems like we have a hard time with it anymore. Civility seems to go out the window. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And joining us now is a very special guest. He's the author of Beyond Happiness and Meaning, Transforming Your Life Through Ethical Behavior. Dr. Stephen Mintz, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I'm going to tell you what my producer told me right before we went on the air here. This may be one of the dumbest jokes he's ever told me. So he said, hey, when Dr. Mintz is on the air, ask him if he has a son named Stephen so he can be called Junior Mintz.
Oh, I've heard it before, believe me.
I'm sure you have, and he said that, and I was thinking to myself, how can I go on with a straight face now that I've learned that?
It's not easy.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. You have an op-ed that just came out. It's called, Is President Trump's Discourse the Cause of Our Uncivil Society? And part of what you talk about is, you know, Trump has lowered the bar with his respect to incivility. Rudeness is everywhere, fueled in part by the tone in Washington. I guess there could be a look at how much does Washington actually dictate the tone of uncivil discourse here in the United States? And is it the main cause? Is it a minor cause? Is it no cause? So what are your thoughts on the way that we discuss politics anymore and just how uncivil we seem to be?
Yeah, I think basically what's happened is uncivil behavior has become normalized in our society. And certainly what's going on in Washington, not just with President Trump, politicians in general, people getting in the face of others and calling them all sorts of nasty names and sort of an us versus you mentality has contributed, but social media probably is the biggest cause because that's where we're all connected these days. And all that has to happen is somebody says or does one thing that others think is wrong, and it's viral. Mm-hmm. Millions of people are finding out about it instantaneously. And when these things are bad behavior, it just spreads like wildfire and causes incivility in society.
What I've noticed, just generally speaking, is also how we see it in entertainment. And one of the strange things you start to see, it's almost generational, because the way people bring up politics or ideas or debates, if you're kind of this old school way of mentality, you find a way to do it civilly and politely, and you can have those conversations and be friends. And you find that anymore, anyone that's not in that like old school way of discussing these ideas, it always goes to incivility. It always goes into, well, this or that, and it always blows up. And I don't think we know how to talk to each other anymore.
Right. No, I agree. Years ago, you'd go see the person. You'd have a face-to-face meeting. You'd discuss your differences, try to find common ground, and move on. Today, we go on the internet. We tweet something. We send it. We don't think about what we're doing or how we might be hurting someone's feelings because they're not in front of us. They're at the other end of the communication. So it's very impersonal, and I don't think we do know how to talk to each other anymore. I always say we need to learn to be able to disagree with each other without being disagreeable, and that just doesn't happen very often anymore.
I think tone is always misunderstood. So on the internet, it's very difficult to understand the approach that someone may have to a statement. And when someone reads it, it could be taken as a completely different message or a different understanding. And people take it so personally, even if the intent wasn't there for it to be done. And you find that, too, in some conversations where people will say certain things and they'll take offense to everything so quickly in the conversation just goes south so quickly. So civil discourse in general, I mean, how do we reverse this? Is it even possible in a social media world today?
Oh, I think it's possible. We need a national discussion on these issues. Unfortunately, I don't think it's really happening. I'm always amazed when I watch these debates, and there are no questions by any reporters about civility in society or these sort of things, or questions about everything else. But without recognizing as a nation that it is a problem, you can't fix it. I mean, it's like alcoholism. You can't fix it until you admit you have that problem. We have to admit we have a civility problem, and maybe we can start a dialogue about it. I think it needs to be taught in schools as well, the whole issue of teaching civics and virtue and ethics. Years ago, people would get this in school and or in religious institutions, at home, and it just doesn't seem like it happens anymore.
Dr. Stephen Mintz joining us on the program here tonight. And, of course, you can check him out online, www.stephenmintzethics.com, and his new book, Beyond Happiness and Meaning, Transforming Your Life Through Ethical Behavior. I'm wondering, too, about how well this incivility is actually represented in today's discourse, because sometimes you may think, well, it might just be a small percentage of people that are like this, but it's amplified and overblown to make it look like the entire society is like this. Because a lot of times you find that you can sit down and have conversations with people face to face. You allow for that sort of thing, and people are very civil with each other. I don't know if it's just sometimes people get a little bit too brave behind the keyboard, but maybe is it possible that some of this is just overamplified?
Yes, I think that's true. It tends to be that the bad behavior is what's exhibited or shown on TV and in other forms of media. We see the bad stuff. Nobody ever talks about the heroes or the good people that do good thing, or very rarely do we do that. I guess this is what society wants to hear. Otherwise, why would we get it all the time on TV? So I agree with you on that 100%. It is a problem. And until we start to talk about good things rather than bad things, be forgiving of people who do things wrong. We all make mistakes. Be forgiving, be kind, be understanding, have empathy. You know, now we have this whole idea of a cancel culture.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you do one thing wrong, let's say one thing wrong, and you're shunned by society, or at least people in your sphere of influence. And yeah, all of us make mistakes. Clearly, you have to apologize for your mistake and move on. But it seems like this cancel culture is now infecting the society as well.
You know what the strange and sad thing is? It's, you don't even have to say anything that is wrong. You can just have someone of a position of power, authority, put a headline together that takes it out of context to make it sound like you've said something wrong, and that could even ruin you anymore. It's tough.
That's very true. And the way things are reported, it's slanted. It's the whole level of honesty in journalism, and it's too much of making the other person look bad. Mm-hmm. Rather than being forgiving and kind. Hmm. And this us against them mentality, especially in politics, is very hurtful. And maybe it's accelerated now because we're in an election mode.
Yeah.
And people are watching it more. We're hearing it more. We have the debates. We have cable news. So if it was a non-political year, maybe it wouldn't be as magnified as it is. I remember President Trump went to the Nationals baseball game. Was it a week or so ago?
Right.
And he was booed. What did they say? Lock him up?
Yeah, they chanted lock him up, yeah.
Now, where did they get that, I wonder, you know?
Well, how about this as an idea? We see other countries like in Canada and over in the UK, their election cycle when it comes to electing their new prime minister or whatever it may be in what country is limited. The window is so much more limited. So here in the United States, as soon as we elect one person, the next day people are already campaigning to be the next president of the United States. We have, it never ends. But over in Canada, the window's much shorter, and also in the UK, much shorter. Maybe if we try to limit the amount of time people are out there campaigning, that would be a great burden lifted off a lot of people's shoulders, where we don't have to worry about always putting these type of negative conversations out there all the time.
Yeah, I agree. That would be a great thing. I don't know that it would happen here. What with the influence of money and power and this and that. So it'd be a little bit harder, but it's a great idea. It's definitely something worth talking about.
Well, if people wanted to find your book, Beyond Happiness and Meaning, Transforming Your Life Through Ethical Behavior, where can they find it?
It's listed on Amazon, or they could go to my website. You gave the website address, and they can find it there as well.
www.stephenmintzethics.com. One thing you mentioned before, and just one more question for you, is that we should probably be talking about this more in schools. We should be teaching this sort of thing in schools. So let's say you're a professor and you have the ability, or maybe not a professor, but an educator or a superintendent over many schools in a certain district. How would you approach this in a way where you would introduce this to kids?
Well, I think you'd have to get the parents on board, number one. So a meeting with the parents, explain why these things are being done so they can support the school district, because not every parent would necessarily think or want schools to teach ethics. Not everybody believes they should be teaching right from wrong. But assuming we could get that done, I think it has to be taught in every class. When I teach ethics at the college level, I always say one class is not enough. Because it gives a signal to the students that it's only important this one time. You have to do it in everything, whether you're talking about civics, sociology, psychology, whatever it is. There's an ethical dimension when we're talking about how we treat each other. You know, the golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
So integrating it throughout the curriculum, I think, is the way to go.
That's a good idea. There's a lot of things we can do to try to counter this sort of thing. What I like about radio programs that allow you to have certain conversations as opposed to just yell and scream over each other is that you can kind of find out that there are people that you disagree with, but you can still have conversations with. I think we need to realize that, you know, people are normal, and you don't have to fall into that trap that you see on the network cable shows where they're just yelling at each other. It's okay to just have a conversation with people and not feel like you have to hate them at the end of it. It could just be a small mentality thing that needs to be tweaked in some people's minds, and that could go a long way.
Right, absolutely. We do need to learn how to talk to each other better, that's for sure.
Dr. Stephen Mintz, the website again, StephenMintzEthics.com, and the book Beyond Happiness and Meaning, Transforming Your Life Through Ethical Behavior, you can find on Amazon now. Thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was a great conversation. I enjoyed that. He joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. Ah, civility. Who needs it? No, I'm just kidding. The whole point of the interview is that we do need it, and we need it more and more and more. And I mentioned the late night talk show hosts in general, entertainers. When you look at the Colberts and the Kimmels of the world, the civility is out the window, gone, see you later. I enjoy some of the old school talk show hosts. For example, you have a Conan O'Brien who's still around, and he's been on the TV longer than any of the other late night talk show hosts. I admire that he can take an old school approach, which realizes that you're allowed to make jokes, but you're not going out there for kidney shots. I don't think most of those late night entertainers or entertainers in general realize that anymore. And it's a big turnoff. You know what I saw Netflix is going to be doing? Is it Netflix or Hulu? One of the streaming services that airs, who's the guy that comes on after Fallon? He's the old SNL dude who used to do Seth Meyers. That's right. Seth Meyers. Netflix announced that if you want to watch Seth Meyers' program but skip through the political jokes at the start, you can do that now. They're offering an ability for you to skip through the Trump jokes at the start. Isn't that something? That's how bad things have gotten. They realize that it's so divided, people are so turned off by it, that if you want to watch it without getting the kidney shots, you skip through it. Wow, isn't that telling anymore? Coming up next, a talk show host from Kansas City, our sister station KMBZ, Mike Wickett's going to talk about renaming Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard. They went to a vote yesterday, which happened, and they said, we want to revert it back to its old name. Dr. King, you're out. Well, you read the headline, and people say, oh, this is terrible. Well, what's really happening there? We'll let him explain on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. Michaelsflooringoutlet.com on KMOX.
Joining us now is a talk host on our sister station in Kansas City, KMBZ, host Mike Wickett. Thanks for coming on to Overnight America.
Hey, good to be here, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
What do you think of this Associated Press headline, Kansas City votes to remove King's name from historic street?
Man, I woke up this morning because I went to bed a little early before the results came in on this election that was happening yesterday to change the name from Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard to the Paseo, which it was about a year ago. It was the Paseo a year ago. And I woke up this morning and I saw those headlines, and I saw them in the New York Times, and I saw them in the Washington Post and the Hill.com. And I thought, this is going to make Kansas City look really bad, because it now looks like the city is pulling the name of one of the great black civil rights leaders in the history of this country, because we don't care about that. And I thought, man, that is a clickbait headline. So I did click on the Twitter link on one of the headlines, and I just saw comments of people talking about how, can we just get rid of Kansas City, you know, Kansas City this, white peopling again. And I thought, you really didn't click the link, which most people don't anymore, Ryan, mm-hmm. but you really didn't click the link to get the entire story.
I remember this when it became an issue, and they did stories about it, and we were trying to monitor what was going on. And there is some historic value in Paseo. I understand it was there since the late 1800s, and it's referenced in pop culture and rap songs and all the branding along that street and boulevard or whatever. They have Paseo on everything. Like here in St. Louis, every company has the arch on it. It would be like telling people they couldn't use the arch anymore. It would be a big deal. So the thing that surprised me the most on the article was Kansas City was the last major city without a Dr. Martin Luther King namesake on a street. That was kind of surprising, but that's not what really happened. It sounds like most people were just upset because they took something that they all know and love, that Paseo Boulevard or Paseo Drive, and what they decided to do was change the name, and people were upset about that. Not that they changed it to that specific name. They just didn't want to change it at all.
Yeah, it's more so that than anything. I mean, nobody thinks that we shouldn't honor Dr. King in Kansas City for everything that he has done. And there is such a concentration of African-American population here as well, just like in St. Louis. Nobody thinks that there's no reason we shouldn't honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It was the process that it went down that really made people mad. And real quick, about a year ago, someone said, hey, we should rename a street after Dr. King. And at the time, the mayor, Sly James, who has since left the mayor's office, they formed some sort of quick coalition, and they said, all right, what are we going to do here? And it was either the airport, because we're getting a new single terminal. It was the Paseo, or it was 63rd Street. And they didn't even ask the people that lived along the Paseo, which is a major thoroughfare in Kansas City. There's a lot of houses, a lot of businesses that are on the Paseo in Kansas City. So even without getting the will of the people, the public vote, they did a survey, which they call, and I questioned some of the results of this survey, and it turns out that, you know, even though in the past they haven't really always gone with, you know, what the city council has done and whatnot, they just decided, hey, we're going to go with Paseo. And they just decided to march on with this. And the city council voted 8-4, disregarding any sort of legal precedent that's ever been set. So people are actually more mad at the process, Ryan, than anything. And that's what yesterday's vote, and it got 69% of the vote to overturn it, to turn it back into the Paseo. That's what people are most mad about. Not pulling Dr. King's name off. They're most mad about the fact that they weren't asked. The people weren't asked, and the city council kind of screwed over Kansas City residents.
Yeah, and it being on the ballot and you get nearly 70% that want to change it back says a lot, that there wasn't a lot of support to begin with, or at least it gained some support after the fact that they wanted to keep it the way it was, historic as it may be. You know, when I look at national headlines in general, it's the worst place to get local news. Anytime you see some outside source trying to talk about the community you live in, they always get it wrong. They always sensationalize it. That's why you got to ignore these national news agencies when it comes to local matters, I find.
Yeah, and you really, I mean, if you click on the New York Times or link, or the Washington Post link, or the Hill.com, or whatever national link, you would know the backstory. You would know that there were mistakes made the entire way, as opposed to just saying, ah, Kansas City hates black people. That's not what the whole point of this whole thing is. And I actually had Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas on my show today, and I have to give the guy, he's in his 97th day as mayor of Kansas City, and he came on and was with us for a half an hour, and we grilled him, and we said, where was the mistake made, and was this a win, was this a loss? And he flat out said, look, we made mistakes. As a matter of fact, he was at the very beginning. The current mayor was part of the team that initially said, let's vote and let's get this street named after Dr. King. He, as any of us do, made a mistake. City Council made a mistake. So I applaud the mayor for coming out and saying, we made a mistake and we have to do our best to make sure that that doesn't happen again. Because like you, like me, like anybody listening, we're all human. And you know, nobody wants to see government make any kind of mistake. But they're human as well and made a big mistake with this one.
KMBZ talk host Mike Wickett joining us on Overnight America. And one thing I always find, too, is sometimes there's a disconnect between politics and politicians. How in the world could they have not figured out Paseo was so beloved? It's been there forever, and people have it. They have rap songs, from what I understand. Like, you know, rapping about, people love this Paseo, and it's kind of like part of the identity of Kansas City. Like, this is a not necessarily a landmark, but it's something that everyone in the area would know about. How come the politicians couldn't figure out that there would be some problem trying to rename it?
There is something behind the scenes that none of us saw, whether it was the SCLC religious leaders, you know, Baptist ministers trying to get inside people's pockets or something along those lines. There's just something that smells so fishy about the previous administration and the previous sitting members of the city council that you just have to wonder, come on, you have to know about that. Like you said, it'd be like if St. Louis said, all right, you can't, no more arch, you know, no more arch, and you can't do that anymore. Or if somebody like in Colorado or along the Grand Canyon said, nope, no more Grand Canyon, we're not going to do that. We're going to call it something else. Like, you just, It's one of those things where you and I look at politicians and say, where's the common sense? Well, that doesn't make any sense to anybody. If you took two steps back and polled 100 people who live up and down the Paseo, 75-80% of them are gonna say no. It seems like they're a little bit out of touch.
Yeah, people would have called it Paseo anyway for all the time.
Right, exactly. What is the big skyscraper in Chicago, Ryan?
It's Sears Tower.
Right. It's not the stinking Willis Tower.
Yeah, it's
it
not.
Might be to the generation, like my daughter, who's 9 months old, might call it a Willis Tower. But yeah. To you and me and everybody else on the planet, it's the Sears Tower.
Yeah, it always will be. Mike Wickett from our sister station, KMBZ, talk show host there. Thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Anytime, Ryan. Good to talk to you.
And he joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. Well, how about that? How about that? Nationally speaking, they don't take the time to look into a story, but man, that headline looks great. How often does that happen here in St. Louis? This is Overnight America, KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX. Miss any part of Ryan Recker on Overnight America?
What if I missed something important?
Download the podcast anytime at KMOX.com/ONA.
Welcome back to Overnight America. We're going to go to CBS News at the top of the hour. Getting pretty close to that. We had some pretty good guests here on the program so far. We got a lot to get to, and our friend Kevin Colleen is going to talk about what's going to be the latest holiday radio show just announced today. The date and time you can find at KMOX.com/events. Tickets are going to go on sale tomorrow. And during that pre-sale run between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m., you can even get $5 off a ticket, which are already a great bargain, because what a fun time that is, the KMOX holiday radio show. KMOX.com/events. And Kevin Colleen is going to join us a little bit later. Let's go to Pat, who's calling in. What's going on?
Hey, you know, I was listening to your last guest from Kansas City, and I'm not a gun guy, and I'm not an anti-gun guy, but years ago, the state of Missouri voted against conceal and carry, and then they overturned it in the state house. And I was wondering your opinion on that. And then 2 years ago, we overturned the state of Missouri by 68% overturned right to work that the state legislature had voted in. And, you know, so we talk about what the people want. I was just wondering your opinion on A, the conceal and carry, because the state of Missouri said we shouldn't have it, and B, the right to work thing, where we also said we shouldn't have it, and the state legislature went one way on one and on the other. So I was just wondering your opinion.
Yeah,
on that.
On the first one, I don't know enough about that to talk about that side. But the right to work is interesting, because that actually went on the ballot and was voted down. So if you were to talk about the people, at least here in St. Louis, in the, what was it, last year? Was it 2017 it was on the ballot, or was it 2018? I can't remember which year. But
no, it was 16.
It was 16?
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
17,
right. They actually, yeah, they passed it, and then we overturned it.
Right.
And,
but that was through the vote of the people, at least. So if you were to try to gauge what the people wanted, even if you don't like the outcome of it, but still, that's kind of the way it voted. So I don't see a problem with that. At least it made it to the ballot and had a chance.
And so my point is, and like I said, and let me put the caveat out there, that I'm not a anti-gun guy or a gun guy, for that matter. I don't conceal and carry, but I'm not against it, because I got a lot of friends that do it. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, it went on the ballot, and it's been a while. And I'm 51. It's been probably 10, 15 years ago, and it was passed that conceal and carry would be illegal in Missouri, and then the legislature overturned that a couple of years later, similar to the puppy mill bill that came up a long time ago, and they overturned it at the legislative branch and signed into law. So I was just wondering your opinion on that, and I hope you look into it. And I wish I had the numbers now, but it definitely was. Shot down years ago on the ballot, and then the legislature overturned it, and now we have some of the most lax gun laws in the country.
Right. Okay, Pat. Hey, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. So, if anyone has a comment on what Pat said, I just don't know enough about how that went down in Missouri. You know, I moved here 2.5 years ago, so I don't know the entire history of what happened when it comes to concealed carry in the state. Right. I just know the way it is now. But the right to work is something that was at least recent, and I was here at KMOX at the time when they went through the petitions and they had the big vote, and it was voted down. Now, it didn't surprise me it was voted down, but here in St. Louis, it's a huge, huge, huge union city, in the sense that it was almost given that, at least in this geographic area, it was voted down. And there was a lot of lobbying on both sides for something like that. I worked and lived in Indiana when that vote came up and the right to work went through. That was just more recent. I think a lot of states have looked at those different measures. But I think what happened in the naming of the boulevard over in Kansas City is kind of a different deal, too. Mostly because the people that wanted to rename that boulevard supposedly went through the proper measures in order to do so. You had an outgoing mayor that wanted to make this one of his last pushes before he was out, okay? You see that most politicians, that they know their time is sunsetting, that they want to be able to get certain things. And then you had this big push from people in the community that were, you know, civil rights activists that wanted to see this happen too. And ultimately what ended up happening, and a lot of people argued the reason why changing this, the reason why a lot of people put this on the ballot and got a change back, they argued that they didn't go through the proper measures. They didn't notify the people on Paseo Boulevard. And a lot of people think it's a beloved historic name. It's part of the founding of Kansas City. So it's been there since the late 1800s. They were just upset because it's so part embedded in their culture as Kansas City. Everyone knows Paseo. So you get a little upset when you see the namesakes and people changing sort of, these sort of things. But part of this is that they believe the last year they were harassed because people that would come up and say, hey, come on, it's Paseo. It's always been Paseo. We like it as Paseo. You can pick a different boulevard or a different avenue. You can honor Dr. Martin Luther King in a different way. But Paseo, people wanted Paseo, but they decided to do it anyway. And then they tried to pull this game, the civil rights leaders in town, that if you were against naming the boulevard Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, that you were a white racist. And that was the card that they played after this went through. And then a lot of people rejected that and they said, you got to be kidding me, you're pulling this on us. So they get it on the ballot. They got enough signatures. It goes to vote last night, which was, you know, the day people went to the ballot, and this is one of the measures on it. And nearly 70%, it was 69-point-something% said, make it Paseo Drive again. So, to me, it's wasn't a controversial thing. It was you had some people that wanted to do something. You had civil rights leaders that were trying to push this through, not realizing that there would be a pushback because they were going to rename something that people liked. And they decided to push it through anyway without getting the pulse of the people, and the pulse of the people ended up winning in this case. It's kind of a shame, though, that they try to make this into a race issue, you know? That's the shameful thing of all of this. And now even the headlines that you see nationally speaking, they make it sound like Kansas City's this big racist city because someone wanted it to go back to the historic naming of that street, that boulevard, that dates back all the way to the 1800s. So, no, it's not. If you read the article, you get it pretty clear that the motivations there had nothing to do with race or race tensions or race relations in the city. It just had to do with, it was Paseo Boulevard. In the next hour, our friend Kevin Killeen, we're going to talk to him about the holiday radio show. And that's going to be coming up at the Sheldon Concert Hall on Monday, December 16th. I can't believe how soon that'll get here. We're looking at, what, 5 weeks from now? One, two, three, four. Yeah, like 5 weeks from now. 5.5 weeks from now. That's before you know it. And since the pre-sale of those tickets are going to go on tomorrow, you actually have a chance to get them discounted. It's such a fun time. I've been involved in two holiday radio programs so far. Both of them were just fantastic. And I'll tell you what I enjoy the most. It's so fun to be in front of a crowd of people and you deliver a line that Kevin Killeen wrote that's hilarious. And people laugh as if you were the one that said something funny. It was really, Kevin writes these just beautiful scripts. He's a master at it. And they're fantastic plays. And you get to see all your KMOX favorites go up on stage and perform it. It's such a fun night. We'll talk about it next on Overnight America.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.